Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Local Shop Podcast. I'm Chris Noyce, and this is the podcast for everything to do with the convenience sector and the issues facing local shops. We've got a big episode today. We are reacting to the news that Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has called a general election. So over the next 6 weeks, you'll be hearing a lot from us about the election, about campaigning, about the manifestos, about everything that's going to affect you and your business and your community. So to discuss this and some of the detail, I'm joined by James Lohman. Hi, James.
Hey, Chris.
And Edward Woodall. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Chris.
And we are kind of taking stock about what this all means. We've a few times, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, we've made bold predictions about when the election's going to be. I don't think any of us had Independence Day on our bingo cards. James, I'll come to you first. Initial reaction of what we've seen over the last 48 hours.
But you're asking me to explain why I was so wrong about picking Election Day. I thought that once they the government had navigated the local election results, and there didn't seem to be immediate pressure on the Prime Minister from his own party, calls for resignations, leadership challenges, things like that, that they'd go a bit longer. But obviously, that's not what they've done. So it's going to be 4th of July. I think fundamentally, this is whenever it's held, elections are just an opportunity to try and get our issues in front of candidates, and they become, even existing MPs become candidates, and then new candidates as well. And they're just, our sector is so well set up for this because we have that coverage across every single constituency with, dozens of stores in every constituency. So it's just a great chance to get those points across. And we'll talk about it as we go on, but as well as the specific issues you want to talk about, just explain why convenience stores are such an important part of, and what I was trying to say is the communities of the future. I think it's really important that we never slip into using language as describing our sector as some sort of legacy or feature of the past. Convenience stores are very much a feature of the present and the future, and this is an opportunity to get that point across and explain why we're important and what government can do to help, which we'll talk about more today, I know.
And Ed, you're pretty plugged into the process with various government departments, but this came as a surprise to just about everyone, right?
Yes, very much so. Despite being plugged in, I my prediction was completely wrong on this as well. So I'm in the same camp as James on this one, and probably everyone else around Westminster too. I thought it would go much later on in the air, but we are here now, and there's an opportunity to really make the most of presenting convenience stores as a really important part of communities now and in the future as well.
Absolutely right. And so there's a bit of process that we've got to get through before we get into campaigning proper, even though we've started to have speeches, both wet and dry, over the last 24 hours. As happens with anyone when they leave a job, they have a notice period and they get a few bits and pieces done that are pretty high profile, but the rest of it kind of gets left in the inbox and gets left for the next person to deal with. And that's essentially what we've got in Parliament. So we've now got 5 days of what's called a wash-up period, and that's where progressing legislation has the opportunity to get kind of fast-tracked through to receive royal assent. And there are lots of bills that are up for this. Two of which are particularly relevant to our sector and have been making headlines over the last few months. The first of those is the Criminal Justice Bill. And this is particularly notable because of the inclusion of an amendment about a separate offence for assaulting retail workers. Ed, tell us a bit more about what's in the Criminal Justice Bill and how likely you think it is that we might get somewhere on this in the next few days.
Yeah, so as you say, Chris, there's some really important measures in the bill around the standalone offence for attacks on shop workers, but also some other measures that are really important around prolific shop thieves and people that repeatedly are violent towards people in shops, because those people are going to be have mandatory sentences for tagging, electronic tagging, or banning orders to prevent them from going to shops. So this is really good, really important stuff that we have been campaigning on for a long, long time. Really important bill. I mean, there's lots of other stuff in the bill as well around things like rough sleeping and other measures around reforms to the justice system. It wasn't just these measures. And for that reason, I think that the progression of this bill and the wash-up period will probably be more difficult, because essentially you need two two things in this wash-up period to get a piece of legislation through. You need to have it progressed as far as possible through the House of Commons. Ideally, you'd already get it into the House of Lords so that everyone's had a chance to debate it and amend it. We haven't had that with this bill yet. And secondly, there'll be consensus across the political divide in Parliament that the bill could pass and there'll be some agreement between the two parties. And I think because of those controversial bits, that is quite unlikely this bill would pass. I think if it was just a standalone offence and it was just these bits around shop theft, it would. But unfortunately, there's a much wider number of measures in this bill. So I think it'll be a challenge to get it through in the wash-up period. But the good news is I think whatever government comes back, they will revisit this. And we will certainly be keeping their feet to the fire to make sure that when they do, the standalone offence and those measures around tackling shop theft and prolific offenders are definitely in there.
It's a bit of a shame, really, that we didn't get the debate on the amendment itself, because that was scheduled for around June the 4th. We were expecting widespread cross-party support for this. Lots of MPs, making sure that retailers and colleagues' voices are heard. And it looks like we're not going to get to that phase. But Ed, as you say, potentially one that's going to be delayed a bit, but I would expect something in the next Queen's speech or the next legislative round in the new Parliament. So not all bad news there.
Not all bad news. And I also think that the issue of crime and safer communities will be a huge issue in this election campaign for both parties, making big commitments around policing. And of course, it will be our job with the support of members to get this and keep this on the agenda during the election campaign too. So we don't get the debate in Parliament, but we will have it in public discourse during this election campaign for sure.
Absolutely right. And linked into that, you've got quite a few brand new police and crime commissioners as well that will be very receptive to ideas. So really not really a better time to be engaging with decision makers around policy on crime. The second bill that is particularly relevant to our sector and something which is, again, has been making a lot of headlines is the tobacco and vapes bill. And the headline measures around this are the generational ban, to ban anyone born after a certain date. Is it 1999, I think?
2009.
Yeah. This shows how old I am. I think if you're 90, So, showing my age there. So anyone born after 2009, which is a policy that will come in 2027, will not be able to purchase tobacco, and that age will go up 1 year every year. There are other measures in there around vapes as well and restriction of vapes. Ed, I noticed that the Tobacco and Vapes Bill is kind of at the same stage as the Criminal Justice Bill, both at report stage in the Commons. So in the same position, the Lords haven't had a chance to have a look at it yet. Do you think this one's more likely to be able to get through, given the cross-party support we have for most of these measures?
I think there's a better chance of this getting through. We're not certain on that yet. We should have some more clarity over the next few days. And I think the reason for that is that two reasons. One is there's that consensus across the political divide around some of these issues around regulating the vaping category and looking at this generational tobacco ban. The second reason is that actually is a bit of a techie one for the Westminster geeks out there, but the way the bill is structured, it means that lots of the powers in this bill are enabling powers. So actually, they're not setting out lots of detailed things that people have to amend and agree. It's giving powers to a future government to implement these measures and consult on them. And for that reason, I think there's probably a better window of opportunity for Labour and the Conservative Party to come together and say, right, we want to pass this piece of legislation. But that will be sounded out over the next few days.
And it's interesting that we are talking about quite tight timeframes now. Usually when we talk about parliamentary timetables, we're talking about things that are months, years in advance and preparing for those eventualities. We are talking about the days between now and the 30th of May when Parliament will be dissolved. So expect updates from us in the very near future about the progress of both of those bills. So when we get to that period and when we get into campaigning proper, all MPs will cease to become MPs. Seats will be vacant. Everyone will become, well, not everyone. Everyone looking to stand will become a prospective parliamentary candidate. And this is then the opportunity to get those candidates into store. James, you've been through a few elections at ACS. If I'm a retailer thinking, and I'm a new-ish retailer over the last 4 or 5 years that hasn't been through this process before, what's the benefit? Why arrange a store visit with a group of people that you've probably never met, with a quite a range of views on the future of your business?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, well, in most places there'll be a number of candidates standing with across the major parties and possibly some others as well. But the point for me is that the issue we're dealing with, and particularly the operations of a convenience store, really do go across the political divide. You will get intuitively, you will get support, and people will be interested in what you're doing and will be supportive of what you're doing as a responsible, effective, well-invested convenience retailer offering a very broad range of products and services, and that's what you are. And across the political spectrum, everyone will want to engage with that. They'll want to engage with your colleagues, a large number of whom will be voters in their constituencies. They'll want to speak to them. They'll want to engage with customers. They'll be wanting to understand about the dynamics of that particular place you trade, which is going to be a probably small part of their constituency that you're trading in. So that housing estate, that village, that parade of stores, understanding the dynamics and what people are, how people behave around there, it all helps them to get under the skin of the local area. And why that's important to you is that this is, you want to build relationships with policymakers before you write a letter to them saying how unhappy you are about something. Either that's a local issue, or that's because it's something that we're talking about and you're working with us on, which is a national issue you want to influence. So if you can build those relationships before that time, that makes that MP, when they become an MP, much more receptive to those conversations. So yeah, it's a perfect time to do that. And rather than them coming in, you're immediately asking them for one thing maybe, or to intervene on a piece of legislation. You're building that relationship. You're educating them. Don't assume that every candidate understands how a convenience store works and what you do and the realities of doing that. And these are there's a lot goes into running a convenience store, to state the obvious. Everyone listens to this knows that. And really to explain that and to put that across. And it's quite inspiring when you hear great retailers talk about what they do and the colleagues they're engaging, the customers they're engaging, all the products they deal with, their supply chain, the community activity you undertake. And I think it's an opportunity to really inspire those candidates. And then when issues come up in Parliament over the next term, hopefully one of the things they think is, oh, I need to speak to such and such person who I met during the campaign.
And Ed, you'll be facilitating a lot of the store visits over the next 6 weeks. From your point of view, over experience of running a few of these over the elections, how well do the benefits of local shops in the community track nationally as part of an election campaign? Things like growth and jobs, investment, community, crime prevention.
Yeah, they track. There's a lot of issues that track well into the election campaign. I mean, election campaigns are tough. They jump around a lot. They tend to have different weeks with different themes, different days. And then, of course, parties get pulled off those topics and pulled onto other things when think people make a mistake or say something silly. But you can be assured that there will be issues in this campaign on a regular basis that will directly impact the convenience sector, whether that's around the future of employment, the safety of your communities, or how we deliver growth across the whole of the economy. So it will track across. But I think in the context of the visit into the store, if you've got a candidate in, what they're really interested in is what makes your community tick? What are the issues that are impacting trade around your store? Because they want to be tapped into that, because they want to engage with the voters around there, because also they want to get into Parliament. So my top tip is, as much as possible, yes, look at the national picture and we'll help you engage with that process. But really think about what's relevant to people around your store and around your community. And that will be the thing that's of most interest to candidates as we go through the campaign.
Absolutely right. Really good points there. So, over the next few weeks, we will be talking to many of you about store visits. There'll be lots of candidates that will be looking to come into store. Obviously, we'd like to publicise that as much as possible. And as the manifestos come out and as more details come out about the particular measures that each party is planning to implement if they win the election, we'll be covering those as well and providing analysis and I'm sure more discussions on this podcast over the next few weeks as well. You can find all of that in one place on our website. That's in our Election Centre, which we've launched today. Please do check that out. So just go to the homepage. It'll be a big button on the homepage there. And of course, if you want any more information, then just reach out to one of the team and we will be able to help you. So that is a brief go around of what's coming up in the election. There is, of course, much more to come, but please stay with us and we will speak to you again soon.